I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Louda, what do you got?
You know, I was going to say, I wish I could be as lucky as this New Yorker, Juan Hernandez, but I think the Lakers need the luck more than I do. He won $10 million on a scratch-off game, but that's not the good thing, or the miracle. This is his second time winning the lottery. The first time he won it back in 2019, he won $350 million.
What?
Yeah, but he only went home with six because he opted out.
Wait, only went home with six?
Well, I mean, out of 350, he only went home with six.
If you won 350, would you play the lottery again? I guess you could. I mean, no one's stopping you to play, but
geez. Wait, but hold on. You have a $350 million win and you only took home $6 million? How is that mathematically possible?
He took the lump sum. That's what the article said. So he opted.
And then, like, the tax.
No, he couldn't have, that couldn't be 350 to six, though.
Well, that's what they said.
Well, no, the lottery could have been 350 and a lot of people won. Is what happened.
Oh, maybe. They didn't.
That's okay. That makes more sense.
That would make a lot more sense.
He just won $10 million and he's saying he doesn't even know what he's going to do with it because he hasn't even spent half of the other winnings. And I'm like, sir, if you want to get rid of money, I mean, I will be glad.
Because the lump sum is usually like 60%. And then maybe there's more, like, you know, obviously less after taxes. So maybe that was his take home after all of that.
That's still very hard to believe.
Big difference.
Well, unless like 20 people won the lottery.
Which is also hard to believe.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. But this is the second time winning. And I'm like, dude.
So the guy won a lottery for the second time is what
you're saying. Yeah, $10 million.
Wow. I actually know somebody who won a lottery twice.
Get out of here.
I swear to God. True story. In fact, the guy, it was his parents. He played in the NFL for probably like 10 years. He was a defensive lineman by the name of Jacques Césaire, and he's now an assistant coach with the Buffalo Bills. And true story, grew up in a small town in Connecticut, and his parents, I'm trying to remember where, I think they were Haitian. They came to America, they played the lottery, and they literally won the lottery twice. But neither one of them was like a number of $10 million or $350. It was like $2 million one time, $3 million another time.
That's still
pretty
a lot.
Impressive.
Yeah, one. Can you imagine? Winning the lottery once is an impossibility.
I mean, it's like one in, like, you know, tens of millions.
Right. To win it twice?
So you are right. He was one of the 350, and he won, it says 10 here, too, back in 2019, and he only took six.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. You win $10 million, but you take $6 million?
Mm-hmm. Right. There you go. 60%. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
That can work.
So my bad. I read that wrong. But
okay,
still, like,
okay. Now it makes sense. I'm like, when you...
Yeah.
20 people won the
lottery. I love that word. Can we say that word? I love that word.
I mean, we just did. It's fine.
I mean, I didn't drop it, but I mean, like, dude, how lucky is this guy? I want to go and be like, can I just touch you, sir? Maybe I'll, like, get some luck or something. Maybe the Lakers need to go rub your head. I don't know.
It is so funny you are saying this because you also said, hey, sir, you just won all this money. You don't know what to do with it all. Bring some this way. This
Hell
is a totally, totally true story. Remember I told you guys about a buddy of mine that I went to Vegas with in May for the Canelo fight? And he brought home $300,000 in cash. Do you guys remember that story?
Yes, and you said you'd never seen that amount of money in cash ever before.
Correct. Well, he went back to Vegas about a month or so ago.
And came did he back lose $300,000 this time?
No, came back with $400,000.
Yeah.
Okay, now wait a second. My man goes to Vegas a couple weeks back again, comes home with $800 large in cash.
Who is this person?
For real.
And I said, we were on the phone last night. This buddy of mine, we were on the phone last night, and I said, bro, how do you... What do you attribute this to? You know, like good luck? Is that it? Are you a genius player? Do you count cards? Like, what is it?
What does he play?
Blackjack.
Oh, then he probably definitely counts cards. Probably definitely being, you know, an oxymoron, but he definitely counts cards.
Yeah, so my daughter saw a picture of the cash, and her response was exactly what yours was, Laura. She was like, so can you pay for my college in cash? Do you mind? Is that okay? Because that can pay for all 4 years of my college. I was like, can pay for a house.
I'm just trying to get my, body right. So I was like, psych, you don't know what to do with that money? Bring it over to me. Thank you very much.
I feel like you can get lucky like once or twice, like that kind of money. But like if he's playing blackjack, I feel like just sounds, you know, like the counting cards thing is real. You know, like people get kicked out of casinos all the time for that. Like it's not even like illegal. It's just frowned upon.
I don't think he's counting cards because he's sitting there sucking down drinks, too.
No, if he was counting cards, they'd be.
You winning thought that I much would, money? Yeah,
they'd
you're right.
Be breaking his legs.
So. Yeah, you're
they
probably
know.
Right.
They would know. Yeah. They're like, he's just drunk sitting here getting lucky.
I learned to do that, how to do that on a podcast like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
How to count cards?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. On a This American Life podcast.
All right. Maybe I should.
I mean, you probably shouldn't say that out loud, is what I would say.
I don't never play blackjack. You know, like I literally go to the casino and I play slot machines and craps. It's all I never played blackjack in a casino. So I don't care. Like,
she's
people are allowed to know how to use it.
Are you going to Vegas, girl? If you come back, my mommy'd be like, ooh, I need to listen to that podcast.
All I play is craps. I don't ever play cards.
At M Lopez DTV Cap is mad at me because he said, at Sedano, punch him in the face? Really, bro? You can't just take that at Scott Kaplan, run circles around you. Hashtag Cubano Celoso. To which, you know what Cubano Celoso means?
No, can you tell me?
Cubano Celoso means jealous Cuban. To which I responded, bro. No, I just responded, no mames. Oh, crap, I can't say that because Laura's going to dump it.
I did.
Why? What's that mean?
You can say the other one.
All right. I'll just say, to which I responded, because now I have to say it because I said the actual word. I can't say that one on the air. I responded, no mames, bro. And then he writes, bro, you can hear the jealousy in your voice. To no mames, way. And I'm like, first of all, what jealousy? Why? You can say if I was annoyed. I was annoyed because I was trying to read this thing because Laura's in my ear telling me she's going to get in trouble and you keep talking. And that's part of the charm, by the way, is that we fight. Like, that's part of the deal.
But I also wanted to say, George, and I put it out on Twitter also to the gentleman, I'm a peaceful brother, just so we all know here. I'm anti-violence. I'm pro-peace and love, just so we're all clear.
I mean, would you rather have just said, I want to kick him in the ding-ding or something? Like, would that have been better? Like, just because it's funnier? It's a funny word?
Yeah, like, that is funny. I would like to kick you in the ding-ding is actually kind of funny.
Okay.
Is that what you call it?
It's an old Eddie Murphy joke. I don't know if you saw Eddie Murphy Raw. It's the beginning of the movie.
Of course I saw Eddie Murphy Raw. I had it memorized. Are you kidding me?
So which I wrote back to M. Lopez DTV. Wait, this is a show. It's all entertainment, not real life. Again, no memes. No memes, man.
Peaceful.
No
Peaceful memes. Brother. Peaceful brother over here.
Like, I still don't understand. Like, I get that people listen to the show and not everybody listens every day. I get that. I clearly get that. But if you've listened to this show now and you listen to literally how we can pivot from acting like we want to kill each other to literally laughing out loud about something someone said, like, doesn't it resonate at some point? Oh, yeah, it's part of the show.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody gets it, George. I'm not sure if everybody gets it.
People don't even realize that we are like exaggerated caricature versions of ourselves. Like, can you imagine if we were just like, you know, if we communicated on the radio the way we all conduct our daily lives? I feel like the show would be very boring, you know? Everyone plays it up a little bit for the show.
And by the way, Mason has just texted us again for some reason. I don't know what this is in reference to. I may have missed it. Maybe it went over my head. But and he sent it with Siri again, just so everyone knows. Scott has an imaginary friend.
What?
Or
that literally, that's all it says. Like, I don't even know. What this is.
Oh, maybe he's talking about the guy from Vegas. He's saying
that
he's not real.
Oh, well, you did send us actually a picture one time of all the cash.
Oh yeah, that was a good picture,
dude. I send you a picture of this cash, and you're like, what? Like, I really don't know if you had this is a true story though. If you had $1 million in cash, and it's just cash, hundreds. How do you spend it? Like. What do you mean? You could take it to Vegas. Hey, I'm going to go to Vegas. I'm going to take $10,000. I'm going to take $50,000, $100,000. But when you're playing high roller, you don't take cash and put it down on the table. You have a line of credit with the casino.
Yeah.
So what do you do for the? How long could $1 million in cash last you? You know, pay a housekeeper $100 a week, buy some gas, go out to dinner, restaurants.
But nobody uses cash, remember?
Right. Not only that, but also you need your. You need your credit cards for to keep track of things and write-offs and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know what I do with all that money.
You deposit it into the bank. Cap.
No, I don't think you can. Or
yeah, you, can.
You can't. No,
you,
no,
they something... give you a form when you cash out all that money at a casino, and you have to like fill out the tax form.
Well, you got to pay taxes on it.
Yeah, and then you deposit it into the bank, and when you deposit it, usually that you'd give them that form so they know there's nothing shady going on.
Okay, but what if you don't deposit it?
Well, they still know because
you put it in a mattress or something.
The casino has record
for sure,
of it,
George. Underneath the mattress, underneath the pillows on the couch, and I don't know what I do with all that cash.
Bury it in the backyard.
Yeah.
You'd get audited. Damn. That's what would happen to you.
Oh, you would totally get audited.
You think so?
100%.
Why me?
Because it'd just be your luck. You'd be like, you guys, listen to what happened to me today.
You mean
Can
I'd
you
be like
believe
bragging?
I got audited?
Yes.
No,
wait, question.
You mean like I'd started off like this, Lindsay? Like, guess what? I went to Vegas and I won $1 million playing blackjack, and I'd come and I'd brag about it on the radio, and the next thing you know, some IRS agent would be like looking for me.
Yep.
Yes.
You'd be like, this guy, he was knocking on my door, and I didn't know what he was there for, but turns out it was the IRS, because apparently I have to claim that cash I won.
I thought it was just an Amazon delivery. Turns out it was the IRS barking at me. Yeah, you might be right. I probably couldn't keep my big mouth shut if I won that kind of money.
No, absolutely not.
I'd have to brag about it. I mean, wouldn't you guys?
No.
You
I would
go
some
to
people.
Vegas and win $1 million and not come brag about it?
No, because...
I won it on the radio.
I would.
Yeah, we know.
I would. Gladly. Gladly. You win $1 million at a casino,
you know what happens you brag. When you're Latino, Kaplan, and you win $1 million? People are going to be coming out of the work.
Yeah, you know, okay. Everybody's going to come looking for some money.
Like, hey, remember? Soy tu tía, tu tío, your cousin that you haven't talked to.
People come out of the woodwork, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter came out of the woodwork last night when I was on the phone with my buddy. She's like, yo, can you pay for my college? I was like, you know, I was kind of embarrassed, but I was sort of proud of her at the same time. You know? Kind of embarrassed, like, don't ask somebody to do that. And then on the other hand, I was like, you know what, girl? Good for you. You like, that was your instant reaction was, yo, can you pay for my college? By the way, listen.
You're such a lovable idiot. I love
listen,
this.
Listen, I don't know why, but here's the thing. One other thing about college real quick. So, George, my daughter, we're going to Tulane University.
Is this story going to take longer than like 90 seconds?
We're going to Tulane University this weekend to go visit Tulane because that's where she's gotten into, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to tell everybody at UCLA who's listening right now, my daughter's an amazing rower, incredible rower. I got pictures to support what I'm saying. I would love to get this child into UCLA. I told her, the universe will decide. You get
Do you want
UCLA,
me to like call Martin Jarman, the athletic director?
I would and tell him what a great rower she is.
Yeah, Lindsay, weren't we supposed to have him on the show? What the hell's going on with UCLA?
I don't know. I followed up. I'll forward you the email.
Hey, UCLA, we've been trying. Do you want, I will just text your AD as opposed to going through you. If this, like, we've been trying to get him on for 2 weeks.
The last email I got was asking what you wanted to talk about. So.
Right. I mean, come on. Are we serious with this?
What do we want to talk about? What is
what
it?
What are we going to talk about? Like, we're not going to ask him about the Ukrainian war. Like, what are we talking about here?
And I'm not going to try and sell him on my daughter's rowing career.
Yes, you are.
No, you definitely are trying to do that.
Well, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little.
Be careful. You don't want to turn into Aunt Becky.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to go to jail over it.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right, we got to go to break. Look at that. You didn't say anything. I was just waiting to see if
we got to go to break. Okay, everybody stop. We got to go to break.
Thank you. That way nobody, Laura particularly, doesn't get in trouble and I don't have to try to punch you in the face.
Peace,
or
George.
Or kick you
Peace.
In the ding-ding.
Peace, George.
Kick you in the ding-ding.
Sounds like it hurts.
Yeah, I mean, people have stepped on your... I mean, you have children. They've kicked you there a million times over. All right.
You know that's true.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Oh, was this a number one hit or something today? Is that how this thing went today?
Yep, that was a number one hit today in 1998.
Celine Dion. This song, this movie, is Titanic. Where's Titanic ranked still on like the like box office, like money, all that crap?
I think it's I would like imagine two or three to Avatar.
Yeah, I would really? Imagine Titanic. Mm-hmm. What happened, Scott? You were going to say something?
Avatar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't you remember the big deal it was when it like surpassed Titanic?
I don't. I remember seeing it thinking to myself, I'm not really into this.
What? That's such a good movie.
I don't know. I mean, I remember it. How long ago do you think that movie was? 10 years ago?
So, do you want to take a guess how much money Titanic has made worldwide?
I'm going to guess $400 million.
Worldwide?
Yeah, I'm just guessing.
Okay. Lindsay?
$2.5 billion.
Laura?
Yeah, I was in the billion, so like 3, just to go over Lindsay.
Yeah, I mean, you two are over, but Scott is way under.
Yeah, really? $2.2 billion.
Wow.
Yeah. And by the way, Avatar made $2.847 billion.
Wow.
Yeah. For a movie you didn't like.
Yeah, I mean, how long ago was Avatar, you think? What year do you think that was? Because I remember seeing it, and I was like, I walked out, and I just was like, okay, whatever, you know.
2010-ish?
What year was Avatar?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2009, yeah.
Oh, really? It's that long ago, huh? Yeah. I only saw it one time. Anybody see it more than once? Because I don't even remember what it was about. Yeah?
Oh, that was a good movie.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times. I mean, it's not like a, ooh, I got to go see it, but, you know, now. But, yeah, I've seen it a few times since it came out.
You know, George, I was in a movie theater last Thursday night. This is two movies I've seen so far this year. I saw Spider-Man in a movie theater, and I saw Studio 666. This past Thursday night, which is the Foo Fighters.
What is Studio 666 about?
It's like a horror comedy by Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters.
Got horrible reviews, by the way.
Well, I mean, what is it going to get? Good reviews? I mean, it's a horror movie about a rock band. But it was hilarious because the
Is that why you randomly tweeted in the middle of the night over the weekend?
Yeah.
Something at the Foo Fighters?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hilarious. The movie was hilarious.
Wait, I love that Lindsay also laughed when I said that. And I'm sure Laura is just like shaking her head somewhere
Which part?
The part that you literally tweeted at the Foo Fighters about going to see this thing.
Yeah, right. Why is that not cool?
It's not cool. It's just very you.
Yeah, but listen. I'm a huge Foo Fighters fan.
I know.
And I love Dave Grohl. And I wanted to give my man some feedback that, yo, man, your movie was effing hilarious. Absolutely hysterical. Because it's a gore movie, like, you know, horror movie.
Rocky Horror Picture Show, basically?
Actually, that's what I compared it to. I said, this is kind of like a Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I know that nobody here will ever see it. So let me just tell you that there's this one scene where, because Dave's killing everybody in the band. And there's this one scene where he takes a cymbal and he throws it like a frisbee. And it cuts the drummer's face in half. And his body, like, falls down the floor, and half of his head is above the cymbal. And instead of everybody being like, ugh, I was dying hysterical laughing. Like, when one of your favorite rock bands decides to put together a movie, and it's a gore comedy, I thought it was hysterical. I didn't expect it to get good reviews, Linz.
I'm glad you liked it. I mean, as long as you liked it and you spent the money to go see it, who cares?
Oh, well, hold on. I didn't spend money.
Oh, you got it for free.
Yeah, that's right.
Then it's okay.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody rented out the theater, did like, you know, an opening night kind of deal.
Yeah.
The food and beverage was all handled, which made it even better, you know, because then I could order the big popcorn and not care about it, you know, get the big soda, not care about that either, not ask for a smaller soda for lesser money, not have to get up in the middle of the movie, you know, I didn't have to drink it all. So two movies, George, two movies in 1 year. It's a new record.
Good for you.
Be impressed.
By the way, if you haven't seen on my Twitter, at Sedano, Royce Tony, who is actually a producer-director of the 30 for 30 on ESPN, Run Ricky Run, is a big fan of the show. He listens to the show. So he did a Sedano and Cap bingo card that I have quote tweeted so you can see it. And there are people now sending in submissions that we're missing on the bingo card that we can add another row to, because we could use one more row. You know, to make it a true bingo card of, you know, so we need four more suggestions. And Carlos Sanchez has added in the Sedano sigh.
Oh, I love the Sedano sigh. It's one of my favorite parts of the show when you're like really, really trying to figure out where you're headed in this particular direction about a certain story. You're like,
And then he also adds, talking about Laura's friends.
That's right. 11 y Leon.
I only got friend dot. No friends anymore.
Okay.
Just making sure.
That's what you say.
Everybody needs to know that.
Looking for love.
I'm not mad.
We're all looking for love in this world, Laura.
Screw love.
Screw love.
Yeah, yeah, but that's a whole other thing. So going back to the bingo cards.
I mean, screw love is pretty, you know, like, excessive. Like, I feel like that's longer, like, you know, like a small thing.
By the way, revolution, like emo punk music. Like,
yeah.
No love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's actually like a punk band right there. Screw love, yes, is like the name of the band. John Gossi, a friend of ours, when we were talking about the movies, asked me, what is the number two grossing film? So Lindsay was right. Titanic is now number three. Avatar's one still. Avengers Endgame came up just short of Avatar at $2.797 billion. So,
wow. This all started with Celine Dion. I'm sure I've told you guys that I was in Vegas. This is several years ago when Celine had a house show. I don't remember exactly where it was.
Might have been Caesar's Palace.
Time too.
Caesar's Palace, maybe.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
You might be right. You might be right. Yeah. And I went to see Celine one time with my ex-wife. By the way, like every woman in the entire place is hysterical crying. I'm like, you know, she's a great singer. She really is. But, I mean, I'm not crying about it, you know?
Yeah.
But my daughter at the time, she goes, Dad, what's this sea lion thing? And I'm like, what are you talking about, sea lion? And she goes, right there, the sign that says sea lion. I'm like, I'm looking around like there's SeaWorld or something nearby that there's a sea lion.
Yes.
Turns out it's an ad on the side of a truck that says C-E-L-I-N-E. And I'm like, oh, Celine, not sea lion. Right.
C-C.
So, you know, just a little screw-up of the word, but, you know, Dad didn't know what she was talking
and
about.
And Celine is back in Vegas, and she's now at Resorts World. Have you been there?
No.
Incredible.
Where is Resorts World?
So Resorts World is like across the street from what's the Wynn hotels.
Okay, got it.
And it's basically five resorts in one. So it's like you know, I would say average priced resort, and then it goes up to like, you know, above average to like luxury to like super luxury to like, you know, I don't know.
Like a high roller off the charts.
Like basically like movie star. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like it just like, yeah, like pimp with a limp, you know what I'm saying? Or something. I don't know, you know, but it's incredible. Like I've been there. It was great. That's the hotel. Remember where I went? I had the bad experience at the Mexican restaurant. I wanted to go because the chef was from LA or whatever. I ended up at the wine place. I think it's Wally's that they have one here in LA too, or a couple here in LA. I ended up at Wally's where they treated me great. I still have not gone back. I'm still, you know, I know everyone's told me to give it a second chance, the Mexican place, because, you know, you don't want to judge it on one impression. But first impressions do matter, is what I would say.
Well, you also never got the food, so you don't really have an impression other than the hostess who was not accommodating.
Yeah. Somebody just sent in another bingo card phrase. Okay. At Sedano, we're way over the break, which is true. I do say that, and usually it involves you and me wanting to either kick you in the ding-ding or punch you in the face. Yes.
We are way over the break. Not right now, but usually we do get way over the break.
Patrick Abandi just asks, did you guys get in trouble? The ESPN app just switched to a whole different show for LA. So we're going through like a systems like reboot around here. So there's a lot of wacky things going on. Like right now, the phones aren't working. I just got an email from our boss, Amanda, that the phones won't be working for a while. Podcasts will be down. I hopefully this is only going to last a day or two.
Well, guy that we just said that to, he's never going to know because it's
right.
Not
I'm going to have to respond
show.
To him. Yes, yes. We are going. Yeah, I'll just write to him, whatever. Anyhow. All right, what the hell was that we were going to talk about? I don't know.
Let me tell you what you were going to talk about, and I'm sure we'll get to it like after Radio Tinder, but you specifically made a point that you wanted to bring up the fact that Anthony Davis
is not saving this team.
Correct.
All right. We will do that at 5:45 after Radio Tinder next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal.
Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, real quick, guys. I know we're going through server changes, so apologies if the phones aren't working or the app isn't working and you're listening now. Because, look, I know when the sun goes down, I know some of the people in the IE particularly switch over to listen on the app because, you know, the signal is worse once the sun goes down. So my apologies. Hopefully all this stuff will get sorted out here soon. So please bear with us with all this stuff.
Technical difficulties.
Yes. And also, Christopher, no more excuses when this server thing's over. Can you change the damn open for Radio Tinder already? Because Lindsay has been here for like almost a year, it feels like.
Mm-hmm. He'll be like, well, you know, I got all these other things I got to do.
Yeah, well, how about you do
this?
She's
spam, bro. Fix it.
He doesn't sleep, you know.
That's true.
All right, Linz, what do you got?
All right, so after several issues came up during the playoffs last season, the Indianapolis Colts have submitted an official proposal to the NFL to change the overtime rules. So the rule change would guarantee that each team gets at least one possession in overtime, both during the regular season and in the playoffs. Apparently, the Kansas City Chiefs have kind of like vocally supported this notion that they're going to change, but the NFL Competition Committee is expected to talk about it when they meet this week in Indianapolis. Do you guys think that the overtime rule is going to be changed by next season? Not like this coming one this year, but by 2023. Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe left. I'm not sure anything's going to change. I guess I would like to see it change. I do think each team should get a possession in overtime. And if the first team gets the ball and scores a touchdown and the second team gets the ball and doesn't score a touchdown, game, set, match. I'm not sure I answered your question, though, Lindsay.
No, you did. You did.
I'm not sure I felt confident in answering the actual question.
I mean, what do they normally, like, what did they used to do?
Well, for
overtime rules,
yeah.
What they would do?
Yeah.
The first team that scored won, regardless of what it was.
Yeah, well, it's stupid that both teams don't get a chance, especially in the playoffs. Like, regular season, whatever.
Yes.
You do three times and you play to a tie after three times, whatever. But, like, in the playoffs, I think it's crucial that they both get a possession.
Yes. Yes. And by the way, for the guy who's questioning you, Cap, about Caesar's Palace or Celine Dion, it was Caesar's Palace was her original residence.
Yeah, the guy was like, how do you not remember going to Caesar's Palace to see Celine?
Because you're probably drunk in Vegas. That's
why. Well, I mean, but the other part of it is it's got to be, this is a long-ass time ago. So I remember seeing Celine. I just didn't remember exactly where we saw her. Is that really that big of a deal? Not remembering the venue?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's fine with me.
Cannabis is a much stronger product today than it was back in the day. I grant you that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just occasional forgetting where you were, no big deal, is it?
I mean, when you're in a Celine Dion concert, I could totally understand you as Cap, like, you not remembering where it is because you probably tuned out the entire thing.
Well, I probably A, didn't want to go, and B, probably tuned it all out because I'm sure I paid a lot of money for the tickets and I didn't want to go. And, you know, it was my ex-wife, you know? So I've probably taken a lot of that out of my brain.
Okay, moving on. All right, so Bill Simmons is not only the founder of The Ringer, but, you know, he's a pretty well-plugged-in guy when it comes to the NBA. And he said something on his podcast today that was very interesting. He said, quote, I think the league is going to expand to Vegas and Seattle, and I think the leading contender to get that Vegas team is Fenway Sports Group. And remember, LeBron is part of the Fenway Sports Group. Do you guys think that there is anything to this rumor? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
I'll swipe right. I'll just say that there's something to that rumor, and I would say that that very much is in line with things that I've heard, and I don't think that Seattle or Vegas are coming online as a potential expansion franchise for at least several years, so it's going to be a while before that actually happens, but yes, all that sounds very much like the stuff I've heard in the past.
Can you imagine an NBA team in Vegas?
Yes. Yes, I can.
I think it'd be awesome. It'd be like crazy, but it would be awesome.
Well, I'm also swiping right with George here. You know, when it comes to the NBA's eventual expansion, and that's if it all ever really happens, as long as the NHL took the lead and went into Vegas, and then the NFL followed up, when most of us kind of perceived the NBA as owning Vegas, even though it didn't have a team and there were no pro sports teams in town at the time, the NBA's got to get into Las Vegas. As for Seattle, now that they've got a hockey team and the arena is operational again, that's probably the next West Coast market that I would think would be in line to get an NBA team. So I think Seattle and Vegas are both very realistic. I don't know about the LeBron part of it and the Fenway part, but I think the markets are definitely going to be in line to get NBA teams.
All right, next one. So 2022, here we're going to talk about your boy here, Cap. Okay. 2022 is going to be a big year for Canelo Alvarez. On Friday afternoon, it was revealed that Alvarez was planning on fighting two times in a deal with DAZN. And apparently, Alvarez is still negotiating to fight a third time in 2022, and that would put the value of his contract with DAZN at $160 million. So that's a lot of money for him to play blackjack with, Cap.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, his trainer-manager, Eddie Reynoso, appeared to confirm the reports by commenting on it on Twitter. Should we go to at least one of these Canelo fights this year? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe right and say yes. Now, I presented to you guys that we should go the first weekend in May because that's when the Kentucky Derby is on a Saturday afternoon, and then there's a mega fight Saturday night in Vegas. George, I think your conflict was NBA playoffs, as I recall.
Yeah, what date? What was the date again?
I think it's May 7th.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the middle of NBA playoffs at that time. I mean, it's possible, but unlikely is what I would say.
So, yes, Lindsay, whether it's May 7th or it's later down the line this year, we should definitely go to Vegas and we should definitely be at a Canelo Alvarez fight.
I mean, yeah, he's going to fight in July, too.
I think you guys can go. And if for whatever reason, let's say I have a game, have Beto do the show with you. Beto
no,
does
no,
boxing.
No, we're not going without you, Sedano. We're going to
No, I'm serious. I'm not even joking. Like, Beto does boxing.
Right.
Like,
no, Beto is
he literally works.
Man.
In boxing.
Sure, right? I agree, but I think we should go like and have a day as the show.
We
know?
Could do
like,
it again. Vegas is right there. It true. Doesn't matter.
Like, we could also do it in July because George probably has NBA Summer League. When's that
I
start,
do.
George?
Yeah, but there's going to be a big UFC on July 2nd, which is before Summer League, but we could do that too. Like, yeah, I'm serious. Like, go with Beto. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, especially for a Canelo fight, you know, Cap – you know, and him are best friends now these days. But Beto is actually, like, really good friends with Canelo.
I think we should go to like, the UFC one and then have, you know, have Beto
like
too.
Like, he actually knows who Beto is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he knows who you are?
He's probably like, oh, that guy right over there? Yeah, he's like one of the hanger-on guys. He's friends with my friend.
Right.
Yeah.
But he knows Beto.
I mean, you did go on his private jet.
I didn't go on his private jet. I just
went on your friend's private jet.
I was just at his private dinner. That's all.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Not the PJ, the PD.
Right. Private dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What's next?
All right. Last one. HBO's 1980 Showtime Lakers has not premiered yet, but the network is already thinking about another Lakers show. Apparently, they're thinking about doing one based around the Kobe Bryant, Shaq, and the LA 3P era. Do you guys think cool. that a show about the Kobe Shaq era would be better than the Showtime Lakers? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe left and say no, I don't think it would be better.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I don't think it would be better is because I'm not sure that anybody would be like, oh no, they're doing this Shaq, Kobe, Phil Jackson, three-peat Lakers docuseries. Oh, it's going to be ugly. See, for some reason, the fact that people don't like what's going to happen with this Lakers show that HBO's got now, that tells me something's going on here that people are trying to like, hey, we don't want that out there or we
yes.
don't want that representation out there.
Yes. Yes.
So because of that, now yes. I really, really, really want to see it. And I don't think that the Shaq Kobe one would be better or worse. I can't wait to see this one. When does this come out, Linz? Does it say?
It's coming out in like a week or two, right?
Yeah, I think it comes out maybe even this week.
Well, good, because since there's no Laker basketball to talk about, there's Laker basketball docuseries to talk about.
And there's already a season. I believe there's already going to be a season two, like that HBO knows it's so anticipated and it's going to be watched. Like they already know, they already feel like I guess they have some sort of metrics based on interest, right? On like people Googling it or whatever, or I don't know. But I've heard that there's a season two already basically being written. For
wow.
this winning time story.
I've seen a couple reviews. It comes out Sunday.
Yeah.
What you told
yeah,
us last week about Jeff Perlman, who wrote the book, and how Jeannie Buss and he were good friends, and now they're not. Because she's pissed about whatever it is that he wrote and what HBO is doing with it. Like, that in and of itself makes me want to see it that much more.
Yeah, I guess their relationship went south when she found out that his book was being developed into, like, a TV series.
Reportedly.
Right, yes. So, all right. One more? Yes, let's go. One more.
That is all I have for Radio.
Okay, then no more. All right. Anthony Davis is not going to save this team. This thing is off the rails. We'll tell you why, specifically about when it comes to AD and how he even can't save this next.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hells to the years. Boots with the fur. Yeah. Looking at her. She hit the floor.
You know what I think of? Like when you're going hells to the yeah. And all the things you've just said and done and snapping your fingers, which I hear. Yeah. You know what I think of? I think of you doing that dance that what's-his-face from Notre Dame, Brian Kelly, was doing on the LSU video for the kid who ended up going to Alabama anyway. The eye thing, you know?
Yeah.
That's you. Like, I feel like you're doing that right now. Yeah.
You think I'm doing the eye thing, the Gwyneth Paltrow Pulp Fiction eye thing?
Yes. Yes, that is exactly what I was thinking, yes.
Turn this up. Let me jam for a second here. Come on. It's 5:42 in the evening. It's time to jam. You should see the way I'm rocking out right now. I'm not doing the eye thing. I'm not doing the Brian Kelly thing. I am doing something that would probably be equally as, like, you know, you'd be disgusted by my moves right now. But I'm feeling it. Apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur. Yeah. Looking at her. See, this is just like the bingo card. I'm going to destroy all the words. Low, 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 low.
This song was a jam, though. Like, it was everywhere for a minute.
It was a jam.
Wasn't it in the Hangover 2? Not 2, as in Hangover T-O-O, not the number 2.
I feel it's been in a few movies, right?
I do feel like it could have been more songs, yeah. You know, maybe Bad Moms? Bad Moms is really good, too. That's a funny movie.
Oh, my God. Bad Moms is a hilarious movie.
You've seen it. There we go.
I have. I don't remember why I watched it, but it must have been one of those things that was, like, trending on Netflix or something like that.
So good.
It's a great movie. Hysterical.
Yeah, no, it's really good. But anyway, shout out to Flo Rida. Anthony Davis. Going to be out at least another, I don't know, till March 17th is when he'll be reevaluated.
Oh, my God. March 17th. Pff, give me a break.
Yeah.
I'm coming back by no March 17th.
Okay, well, that's the earliest.
Oh.
Okay. Yep, that's the earliest. So, now, that would still leave 3 weeks and change. Hold on a second. I don't know why I didn't catch this, although it did sound weird to me. Did you say Gwyneth Paltrow in Pulp Fiction?
Is that what I said? Was that? Wait a second. Gwyneth Paltrow? Wait a second. Don't tell me. Who did I get her confused with? Oh, gosh. I can't think of her name. Oh, what's the actress's name that was in Pulp Fiction that does the eye thing? Oh, don't tell me. Don't tell me, and I'm not going to Google it.
She's in a couple of other Tarantino
Gosh,
movies.
Darn it, I can't think of her name. I did say Gwyneth Paltrow. But what I meant was, who did I mean? Just give it to me. I give
Uma
up.
Thurman.
Uma Thurman, damn it. Yeah. Did somebody say that on Twitter right away?
Yeah, John Gossie.
John, that's great listening by you, man. Good job, and thanks for the looking out, man. Good looking out by you, dog.
So did you just dog him like Randy
I did.
Jackson
I dogged
would
him.
On American Idol? Like that,
yeah, totally. Like
day?
Good. Like that's good looking out, dog. Exactly. Randy Jackson is exactly what that was.
Okay.
Shout out to Randy.
Yes. So maybe he's listening.
I'm sure he is.
So anyhow,
Anthony Davis.
Yes. March 17th is the earliest, right? At the moment.
Right. Sure. Right. Yeah.
That's what, at least reportedly. Okay.
Get out of here. Come on.
That leaves you about 3 weeks in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this Lakers team, I believe, is like about a game and a half, two and a half games, somewhere in that range, up on the 11 seed right now. So even the play-in is not a guarantee anymore. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know there are people out there who remain nameless because this is gibberish, that the Lakers can win a championship if AD and LeBron are healthy. Now,
championship
listen,
of what?
Of the NBA.
When?
Now. This season.
Please.
Now, you've heard me say, look, I mean, I probably wouldn't want to see them in the first round if I'm one of those top teams, because it's like kind of annoying, because usually in the first round you get a team that, you know, maybe gives you a little bit of a test, but it's not really that much of a test, and you're kind of easing your way in, because then the second round gets really tough, and, you know, obviously the conference finals gets really, really tough. And so, but not ideal if that's the case. But to sit here and say that the Lakers go in four straight series, I mean, that there's not much evidence to prove otherwise, okay? Like, that seems absurd to me.
You know that now they even have a less than 1% chance of even making it to the finals, let alone winning it.
Making it to the finals? I thought you were going to tell me they have a less than 1% chance of making it to the playoffs.
No, that's like 10%, I believe, now.
You know what was interesting, though, about this? And I can't wait to talk more about this AD side of it, George.
You'll tell me. Yes, go ahead.
But here's the thing. When Russell Westbrook last night had his post-game press conference, one of the other things that stuck out to me was he said something like, you know, we have bigger goals around here, which is to win a championship in about a year and a half. And it was kind of a throwaway comment the way he said it. But I was listening to it and I went, did he just say that, like, this season's practically over, but really our goal is to prep for making a run to a championship next season? Like, I'm telling you, if you were to go back and listen to what Russell said last night, it almost was like a slip of the tongue, like, hey, we have much bigger goals around here, like to win a championship next year. Almost as if to say, we understand that this year is a lost cause, but we'll regroup in the summer. We'll add a few pieces here and there. We'll work out together. We'll get to know each other better. And by next year, we'll be ready to make a run. I thought that was also
well, Ramona
amazing.
Seems to think that this team will be fairly similar next year, which I can't fathom. I can't.
I tend to think she's right. I don't know how they're going to retool again. I mean, that's the question you have to ask yourself.
But she means intact, though.
Yeah, I know. I know what she means. I agree. Like, are you going to retool the entire roster again? Hey, we're keeping LeBron because he's LeBron. We're keeping AD because he's going to give us like half the season because he's going to be hurt the other half. We're going to keep Russ because he's going to work finally better with these guys and he's going to play his role better. And then we're going to get rid of the entire roster and bring in all new guys. You can't keep doing that. And let's face it.
Every year LeBron has been here has been a different group, basically.
Right. And I think that if he looked back and he was really honest with himself, he'd say, what did I do here? Like, why did I tear apart last year's team? Because we were really right there until I got hurt. Your point about AD, though, about AD's not coming back to save them. First, I'll say this. The likelihood of him coming back mid-March, I don't buy it. I actually, George, I'm going to be surprised if AD makes it back at all for this year. I'm not playing doctor here. I'm not studying his x-rays or his MRIs. But at some point, you got to think that he might look at the season and say, we're not going anywhere, so why put more wear and tear on the body? You think that's reasonable?
I mean, I would get it. I mean, listen, I'll tell you this. Speaking of that, okay? And by the way, real quick, let me pause, because I wanted Tim Legler this morning on ESPN. And I mean, there are very few people I respect their analysis more than Tim Legler. Like, this man knows the game of basketball. Not only did he play it at a high level in the NBA for many years, but I think he does arguably the best job of anyone teaching the game on television, like when he's on SportsCenter and all this stuff and all the crazy videos that he does and the telestrations and all that stuff. But I do want to get to something else in regards to kind of like the thing you mentioned about AD sitting it out. But Legler had a comment about AD that I wanted you to hear first, and it's in line with what we were just discussing. Laura, do we have that Tim Legler sound that I asked you that I asked you about like 6 hours ago, it feels like? All right, can you play it, please?
It can be enough to change to the extent you'll say, yes, I can definitely now see them escaping the play. And you're talking about, you know, getting past Minnesota, potentially the Clippers, New Orleans. Yes, no question there. But when you start talking about coming from wherever you're going to have to come from, a 7 or 8 spot, play teams like Golden State or Phoenix or play a Memphis team, look at what's going on with Denver and Dallas, how good those teams have been. No, you just don't see them escaping a 7-game series. You know, one of the problems in trying to figure this out is Anthony Davis is so talented. talented on both ends of the floor that you need to see it for an extended period of time to have a better idea. He's going to make an enormous difference, but I just think when you talk about the teams they would have to beat in a seven-game series, even Anthony Davis coming in here late to try to save the day, I don't think is enough, and I don't think, it's amazing. I'm writing off a team potentially that's got LeBron James and Anthony Davis on it if he's healthy, but those teams at the top of the West are just significantly better in every facet.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be too hard. Like, the NBA right now this year, Cap, I would say there is the most possibilities of a champion that we've had in a very, very long time. Like, we had a decent amount last year, I thought. And look, you ended up with Phoenix and Milwaukee, right? Like, nobody, maybe Milwaukee people would have guessed potentially, but certainly not Phoenix. And I think this year there's even more. Like, I think you can look at the NBA standings right now, and we can do a little contender or pretender later, but I could easily tell you that there are at least six teams that can win the championship, and none of those six would surprise me.
Are you saying six total, or are you saying six in the East and six in the West?
No. Six total, which is a lot in the NBA. Like, six teams that could hoist the trophy, and I'm like, oh, yeah, no problem. Like, not even going to bat an eye that those teams could win a championship. Yeah. And that's being cautious. Like, that's being, I'm not extending it beyond teams that could get lucky or get hot or injuries could be a factor to help them, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? Like, that's just on, like, nuts and bolts, six teams, 1,000% could fit in this equation.
Well, one thing Tim Legler should stop doing, and by the way, we should all stop doing this, we should all stop saying, if Anthony Davis comes back and he's healthy, we should all just stop saying that. Because the fact of the matter is, he keeps coming back, then he gets hurt, then he comes back, and then he gets hurt. And then he'll come back again, and you know it's going to happen, because that's what's going to happen. He's going to get hurt again. We should all stop trying to play this game of if and when and if and then. Because he ain't coming back, and even if he does come back, what's he going to do for the Lakers this year?
I mean, if he comes back and he's Anthony Davis, like he's a 20-15 guy, like, you know,
yeah, no, he can
like
do that.
Some small thing, you know.
No,
what
no,
I'm
he
saying?
Can do that for like three or four games.
Okay, now the staying on the floor is what I get. What you're getting at, but like if he's actually playing, yes, he's impactful. Like that's not.
I mean, do you? Let me ask you a question. You've covered this kid for a long time, Anthony Davis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guy's got the body. He's got the talent. He's got the game, et cetera, et cetera. But we know that he can't stay healthy. Are you betting on Anthony Davis returning this year and helping the Lakers?
No, I'm not betting on that.
Are you betting on Anthony Davis into the future that he could stay healthy enough to at least give you 50 to 60 games in a season?
No, 50 or 60 I feel good about, but anything more than that I would not feel great about.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not trying to down on the kid at all. I'm just telling you that for some reason his body cannot hold up.
Right. But speaking of bodies holding up, you know, LeBron has been on the injury report going back since pre-All-Star game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, knee, questionable day-to-day, you know, and he's playing. And I'll tell you this, these last two games, I'm starting to think LeBron's knee is bothering him. Because, so I was sitting there in the media section with, like, you know, I'm sitting there next to Trudell, and in front of me is, like, all the beat writers, like McMiniman and Bill Oram and Wojcicki and all those guys, and Kyle Goon from the Southern California News Group, and all the guys who cover the team, and then Jim Hill is there. Like, all that group of the media is on that side, right? And I have seen LeBron go to the rim a bunch of times. I mean, I don't know, a dozen times maybe each game. And I'm like, he's not finishing. And that to me was like, whoa, like, what is going on there? Like, how is LeBron James not finishing layups? Like, that to me was kind of a red flag, and I was kind of like, I think that, like, my initial impression is the knee bothering him? Is it, like, you know, wear and tear, like, age becoming a factor? Could it be all those things? And the more and more I thought about it last night after a glass of wine, because I needed one after last night's game.
I thought you said on Twitter you needed a lot more than one glass of wine after that game.
Yeah, well, there were several. And I thought to myself, you know what? That knee is probably really hurting him. There's a reason that it's questionable pre-All-Star break, because he can't finish at the rim with as much success as he's normally been able to. Not just in previous years. I'm talking about just 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago.
Well, if that's your observation on the offensive end, we should also be looking at the defensive end, because he just doesn't look right. I mean, when you see guys just shooting over LeBron and hitting threes, or guys passing the ball through the lane and he's just late to the party, he just doesn't look right. I'm actually surprised LeBron didn't come out of the All-Star game and say, like, hey, I need a few days, but he just played in the All-Star game. But it won't surprise me, George, here, if in the next couple of weeks, if things spiral down worse than they already are, which I'm not sure how they can get much worse, it wouldn't surprise me if LeBron goes, I'm out. I'm killing myself here with my knee. We're not going anywhere. I'm putting more wear and tear on this body. I'd be better served shutting it down now and preparing for next year.
All right, coming up next, I've got some observations. I was in and out of the Lakers huddles yesterday while doing sidelines for ESPN. I actually kind of feel bad for Russ, and I'll explain why. And I spoke to a bunch of you, fans of the show, and there's a lot of feedback. Most of it positive. Some of it made me cringe.
Yeah.
Laura knows, and Lindsay know exactly what I'm talking about. And it involves you, Cap. I'm going to be honest.
I'm shocked. I'm surprised.
Yeah. But we'll be back in 2 minutes.